With the saints. I am excited to be here this afternoon, excited to share a portion of God's word together with the saints here in Lima. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. God loved the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. God loved the whole world. But did the whole world love God back? God loved the whole world, but the whole world didn't love God back. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. God so loved the world. Jesus is the propitiation. He is the sacrifice, the substitute, the full offering for our sins. But not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus has paid the price once for all for the sins of all of mankind. Not just for some elect group. Not just for those who have chosen to become Christians, but Jesus died for everyone. Now, the responsibility is on us. The price has been paid. Jesus already loves you. Jesus has already made propitiation for you. But our response is our responsibility. Revelation 22 and verse 17. We're going to hammer this home one more time here. Revelation 22, verse 17. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. See, Jesus loves you. Jesus offers the water of life to whosoever will. When you want the water of life, you come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. But notice that Jesus' love is not dependent upon our response. He loves anyway. His love doesn't diminish based upon our response. The relationship changes based upon our response or lack of response. But Jesus' love is available. Jesus' love was not dependent on our acceptance of that love. Now, your eternity has a lot to do with that acceptance of that love on your end. But that's your responsibility. Jesus loves no matter what our individual response to that love is or not. See, we've been talking about love, and loving someone is loving their eternity. Ultimately, real love is loving someone's eternity. And Jesus demonstrated that love for us so that we would understand what that love actually looks like. And then last week we talked about we have the opportunity to then demonstrate love in a way that people can receive and communicate. Because if you're loving, but it is not perceived as loving, what good have you done? So we need to communicate on the level where the hearer is going to receive the love. And we talked about practical examples, how as a congregation and as individuals within the congregation, we do that, right? Demonstrate love in a way that people can understand. And we talked about how Jesus demonstrated love on a level that people could understand. They needed teaching, right? Jesus said, you need a shepherd. But what did he communicate to them? He fed the 4,000. He fed the 5,000. He, the paralyzed guy, right? What'd he do? Get up. Everybody's like, oh man. They cut a hole in the roof, right? And they lowered him down. And like, Jesus wasn't even mad about the hole in his roof. And then Jesus healed the paralyzed. But what happened first? Jesus said, forgive your sins, right? But Jesus is communicating to individuals on a level that they could understand and receive that love. And he has left us an example for us to follow in his steps. So Jesus feeds the 4,000. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And they're amazed, right? The 12 baskets and the 7 baskets. They're amazed. Now let's go to Mark 15. First Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that love never fails. And God is love. Mark 15, think about the impact that Jesus is having. Jesus is healing people. Jesus is, I want you to think in particular about the 5,000 and the 4,000 and those people that he was ministering to, and notice that he was doing some healing along with that. And in Mark 15, excuse me, Mark 15 and verse 11. Mark 15, 11. But the chief priests stirred up the multitudes to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. And answering again, Pilate was saying to them, then what shall I do with him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they shouted back, crucify him. But Pilate was saying to them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. And wishing to satisfy the multitude, Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. I'd like us to notice a couple of things here. The chief priest stirred up the multitude. And we don't know who that multitude is. And it may not have been any of the 4,000. It may not have been any of the 5,000. It may not have been any of those whom Jesus healed. But those were the type of people that Jesus ministered to. The 4,000, the 5,000, the numerous people that he healed. The same people that a week before, okay, are laying down their palm branches. Behold, the King, right? That's that same multitude. The same multitude that is laying down their palm branches, the same type of people, if not the very people that are the 4,000 and the 5,000, are now stirred up as a multitude, saying, crucify him. Verse 14, but they shouted all the more, crucify him. Verse 15, and wishing to satisfy the multitude. See, the people's response did not change Jesus' love. See, the people, when Jesus is before Pilate here, the people are responding with, crucify him, crucify him. It's what the people are responding with. And so Jesus says, well, forget you guys. Right? And that's how your Bible reads. I mean, what a bunch of ingrates, right? Well, if they're going to be ungrateful, I'm not going forward with it. They're ungrateful. We're not doing it. No, that's not quite how it went, is it? See, Jesus persevered. Jesus' love wasn't dependent on their response to his love. Let's think about that in the context of the apostles. Okay, so he picks the apostles, the 12 disciples, right? And he picks them out, but he knows that one of those guys is going to be the son of perdition, right? He knows that. Go to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. See, Jesus knew his Old Testament. He had to learn his Old Testament. He had to memorize his Old Testament. He had to be aware of his Old Testament, and that was going to take W-O-R-K. And he did that W-O-R-K. Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Now, this verse is illuminated by John 13, where we were at earlier. John 13 and verse 18. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Okay? And then it is shown and made manifest that Judas is going to betray him. And you can see that in verse 21, in verse 26, verse 27, and so on. Judas is the one who is going to betray him. So do you think that Jesus, throughout his ministry, is holding back from his apostles because one of these suckers is going to betray me? I mean, there would be, might that be a temptation for one of us? If you know one of these guys is going to betray me. So I don't see Jesus spending a lot of time trying to figure out which one it's going to be. Little bit of opinion here, but I don't think when he chose the 12, he knew which one it was. He figured it out. Probably, hey, you give me those accounting papers? Okay. He was figuring it out who it was. Okay, but he didn't hold back. He didn't say, one of you guys is going to be the son of perdition, so... Till I figure out who, you wait for this. No, okay? He was going to give 100% of himself, and whosoever will, will. He who is thirsty, come. Whoever's thirsty, come. Whosoever will, come. Did Judas have a choice? 100%. Did Peter have a choice? 100%, right? They had a choice. Okay? But Jesus also had the choice that I am going to demonstrate love to you no matter what. Even though one of you guys is guaranteed to betray me because Scripture is not going to be broken. He knew that and fully and willingly gave his heart to us. Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus' love is not dependent upon our response. It doesn't change his love. Now, I don't think I have to have this caveat. If you were listening carefully earlier, I am not at all preaching or teaching universalism here, okay? It's not saying everybody has a relationship with Jesus. But what I am saying is that Jesus' love is there and available to whosoever will, and Jesus wanted to give that love and gave that opportunity to whosoever will. He was going to give 100% of himself, no matter what your reaction was, no matter what Judas's reaction was. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. See, even Jesus' salvation is not conditional on our good works. It's conditional on our faith, but not on our good works. Because you can't earn salvation. Salvation can be given to you when you meet the terms of faith. Okay, so Jesus' love is there. Jesus' love is available. Jesus was going to demonstrate love, whether you were the Samaritan woman, whether you were one of the apostles, or whether you were one of those who were coming to be healed by him, or whether you were one of those guys who were shouting, "Crucify! Crucify!" Jesus' love was there and was available. Jesus gave of himself because he loved. He loved what was really important, our eternities. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's your eternity. That's your salvation for forever. Jesus told the truth that he could impact people's true eternities. He communicated to them in ways that they would understand. He communicated love to those who he was around. See, Jesus had his property destroyed. He had people in his own home who was plotting against him. And he's still the perfect demonstration of love to all of them and to us. And he was willing to communicate on our level, where we were at, where we were going to receive that. It's kind of funny. Different cultures react differently in social scenarios. I was watching a Cat Grizz football game. That's for those of us who don't know. They like to think that it's a really big deal. It's the University of Montana versus Montana State. It's the Bobcats, that's the good guys, versus the Grizzlies, that's the bad guys, and the Grizzlies always win. Hey, this year Montana State won. Actually, they got 2 years in a row here. So the Bobcats versus the Grizzlies, and I was watching the game, and it was on last week, and I turned it over just for a few minutes. And I actually cannot describe to you exactly what it was, but I pointed out to Brenna, and she noticed it too. But I was watching, and it wasn't just the difference between FCS, the lower division of football, and FBS, the higher division of football. But all of those Montana coaches were more casual. It was just a more casual attire. They were in hoodies, and it was just, everything wasn't as formal. It wasn't as put together. And I noticed that living out there, that there is a more relaxed culture, right? And I think that anybody who's spent time, even in this country, it's much smaller dynamic than when you go overseas. But different places have different cultures, right? There's also a much greater independent streak that I've noticed that as a whole is part of the Montanan culture. I noticed that as a difference. And one of the things that is really interesting to me is a lot of those kids even will come to our lock-ins and say, you know, they'll meet somebody new and they'll come to assembly, they'll come to the Lima rally, and they'll come to the Lima rally, and they'll be like, man, people hug a lot. hey, hug a lot. You know, because, you know, cowboy culture, hey, stick out your hand, right? Shake your hand. And we're all like, hey, give me a hug. You know, like, and then you got those guys from Virginia, and they're hugging everybody. different cultures, what? Sometimes different things communicate love to some, but to different people. Well, I can go give, you know, Joe Shanahan a big old hug, and if I didn't know him so well, we went back, hey, how you doing, buddy, right? Like, this is, we got to be aware of what cultural aspects we're coming into the social dynamic with, and what is going to communicate love to the other person. What is it that is going to communicate, hey, I am happy to see you today. Yeah, all right. Yeah, or are we going to give you a big old hug, right? There's not anything wrong with either one of those things, but how can I communicate love on a way that the other person is going to receive and appreciate? And Jesus was the master of this, right? And Jesus was aware of his audience. Jesus did not talk, okay, to the woman caught in adultery the way that he talks to the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, right? He's communicating and demonstrating love, and it certainly had something to do with their hearts as well. But Jesus is willing to communicate love in a way that we could receive. We follow in his steps. In Ephesians chapter 5. After last week, when time got away from me, I was pleasantly surprised to look at my watch just now. I couldn't believe it last week, guys. Like, I looked at my watch, I'm like, okay, I'm about halfway through. I'm like, it's 3:50. What? I gotta get a move on. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Be imitators of God and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. Be imitators of God. If Jesus demonstrated love in a way that people could understand, it is also our job, our responsibility, to demonstrate love in a way that people can understand, and it is not our responsibility how they respond to that love. See, I can't just go around hugging everybody and hope that they will understand that that is a demonstration of love. Okay? But also, as I study and as I work with people on an individual level, learning what communicates love to them on their level, it is also not my responsibility, my responsibility to make sure that they receive that love. And I give that love whether or not that love is received. That's my responsibility. They got their own part of it, right? But I'm only responsible for my part, so I don't have to worry about their part. I don't have to worry about their part. My part is, therefore, be an imitator of God. My part is walk in love. That's my part, right? And so we are known as his followers by our love. Let's go back to John 13. See, Jesus didn't love less because the response was crucify. John 13. Jesus didn't love less because our response was crucify. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Okay? By this you will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another in a way that others can understand, in a way that your spouse can understand, in a way that your kids can understand, in a way that your neighbor can understand, in a way that your brother or sister in Christ can understand. You know, we talked about this last week, you know, making cookies, being in the community, picking people up from assembly, on and on and on and on. Okay, demonstrating love in a way that people are able to receive that love. And Jesus was neither motivated or frustrated by the response or lack of response by others. See, this is one that sometimes, you know, I still fight and work through, right? See, because I can, man, when there's a response, that can be exciting. Like, we got to, all right, right? Like, you know, Brenna is really good about this. You know, I can do something little, and she makes a, hey, she really expresses her gratitude and her appreciation. She had mentioned Wednesday night, she's like, oh, man, I didn't have as much. She loves the Macy's Parade, okay? So she gets up and she watches the Macy's Parade each and every Thanksgiving. That's what she does, okay? And so she had gotten the, she was like, hi, you know, I didn't have enough milk. I used to get my mug of milk. I mean, I guess it's a good thing because adults drink coffee, but she's not drinking coffee right now because of the pregnancy. So I get my mug of milk, right, and watch the Thanksgiving parade. She's like, I'll have to look at the ads online because I didn't, you know, I'm not going to be able to have time to get a paper. Well, Thursday, I couldn't sleep. I'm switching from nights to days, and my schedule's all messed up. So it was, well, I guess I didn't sleep at all that night. And so at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I'm getting up. And so I got up and, you know, so I went into town and got a coffee, you know, got her a hot chocolate, got some donuts, got the paper, and got the milk, right? No big deal. She gets up, right? And that's sitting there for her. You know, you would have thought that I bought her a diamond ring or something. You know, I like, this is some milk and a paper, you know, like, whatever. But, you know, it was a way that I knew would make a difference. Well, you think it motivates me on an individual level to make sure that I'm continuing to demonstrate love in a way that she's going to understand and appreciate. Yeah. And I'm going to look to do that in a way that she is going to receive that love. But see, what he gave to the people, what Jesus gave to the people was not dependent on their excitement about what he was giving. It was not dependent upon their frustration, or he didn't get frustrated depending on their response. See, Jesus wasn't motivated or frustrated by the response or lack of response by others. Jesus was working his plan. He's going to work his plan, and he's going to keep working his plan, Okay? And that's what he was going to do. Jesus values the quality of faith and love, not the acceptance of the masses. Now, see, the masses, the multitudes, the masses, those are the ones that are shouting what? Crucify, crucify, crucify. And Jesus wasn't motivated by the masses. Jesus is motivated by the one. Okay, and Jesus' love is there for the one. Jesus values the one. Jesus died for the one. Jesus' love is not, however, dependent upon my individual response. So Jesus died for me individually, but his love is not dependent on my individual response. I can accept it, or I cannot. The love remains constant, remains the same. What we want is the relationship to change. And what Jesus wants is to communicate your value, to communicate your worth, to show you that he loves you and he demonstrates love in a way that you can understand and receive, and then wants you to follow in his steps. And then he wants you to follow in his steps, and that you are someone who is giving love no matter what your response is, what others' response is to you. Follow me there? Okay, so even if others reject you, Jesus' love through you remains the same, remains constant. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to go back there. Verse 7, Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. Okay? Verse 5 says, But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Okay? We are in the light. And the ones who love his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Okay? New commandment. That's referencing back, okay, that we should love one another as Christ has loved us. We love as Jesus loves. See, the old commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. The new commandment is love as Jesus loves. Love as Jesus loves, because Jesus has gone to great lengths to communicate your value and worth to him. He's gone to great lengths to communicate that on a level that you would understand. I've recently had a bit of an interest in cryptocurrency. So I've always been interested in cryptocurrency with my political leanings, which we will absolutely not get into in this forum. Okay, but I've always been kind of aware for probably about as long as it existed of Bitcoin, and I am sad that I did not get in on it at that point. But this interest in cryptocurrency and what it is isn't super important, but I was reading recently the a story about the first transaction that was done with Bitcoin. And digital currency has come a long way since 2010. But the very first transaction that was done with Bitcoin, where someone is giving Bitcoin, which is the cryptocurrency, for something of tangible value, okay, was when somebody paid Bitcoin, okay, for two large Papa John's pizzas, okay? So they gave Bitcoin for Papa John's pizzas. And I think it was 100 Bitcoin. Yeah. It was 100 Bitcoin for two Papa John's pizzas. So this was in 2010, and it was believed to be the first real-world Bitcoin transaction. So the guy says, hey, I'll give you 100 Bitcoin. You pick me up and send me two Papa John's pizzas. So the guy did it. So he gave him the two Papa John's pizzas. Other guy got 100 Bitcoin. For that time, the assumption was something relatively worthless. 100 Bitcoin, digital currency, cryptocurrency, what? Right? Most of you are looking at me now like, what? Okay. 100 Bitcoin for a couple of pizzas. Most people, I would say probably 99.9% of the people, okay, in 2010 would have taken that deal. Think about it. The guy who had 100 Bitcoin took the deal. Okay, and for that time, it wasn't a bad deal. Today, and actually, I looked this up on Friday, and last night I was on there, and the numbers went up. As of Thursday morning, each Bitcoin is sold and transacted for $8,465. So if you do the math on that, that was an $84 million two large pizzas. Value isn't always as it seems. Value isn't always as it seems. Jesus Christ made the investment that we were worth his sacrifice. God said, I am going to give my son because you are worth it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Guys, God said that you are worth it. God made the investment. Jesus made the investment. You were worth it. Now it's our job. Make the investment. Davey?